take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be moving around, especially in the pastoral epistles. Have your place there, and we're going to be looking at these truths in just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Tonight we're going to begin a series entitled, What's the Point? When you read your Bible, do you ever ask that question? What's the point? You and I need to rightly apply God's truth to our lives, but do you know how to do that? Many of us do, and yet I think all of us would also confess there are passages in the Scripture that we read, and as you read it, you think, well, I know God says this is profitable, just not sure how. Okay? My ox hasn't fallen into a pit lately. Okay? Those spots on my arm, I'll go to the doctor, but there's no high priest to help me. You know what? So what do I do with these texts? If all Scripture is profitable, what is the point? So we'll honor God by reading His Word, trusting that He's given us there all that we need. But do you know the principles for rightly applying God's Word? What do we do with meat offered to idols? A teaching about that, 1 Corinthians 10. What do we do with that? Now, I would say we need to be careful as Americans to think, well, all the Scripture was written just for Americans. Some of my reading on this whole matter of applying God's truth, authors who are Western are very quick to dismiss these passages without thinking about the fact that in much of the world, they're still offering food to idols. And we've had missionaries recently remind us of that, right? In fact, last Wednesday night, we are reminded of that. So God's truth applies to all of His church, and again, it's profitable. But does the Bible really have answers for where we live? For instance, electronic devices. God have anything to say about that? Global warming? Socialism, panic attacks. Now, your flesh and the world in general, now those are things where, you know, we have to figure that out on our own. I don't think anybody in here would say that, I hope. But contributing to the uncertainty is the fact that all of us have heard preaching where a pastor doesn't sound like he's sure what the biblical answers are, or if there are any. Let's just be honest. So I want to begin a study together tonight about some things that God has challenged me with recently. None of us should doubt for a moment the truth found in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Look at it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed and is profitable. All is given. All is inspired. Watch this. All is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness. If we could give a short definition of what righteousness is, it's fulfilling our obligations to God. All right? Fulfilling our obligations to God. So all Scripture is given and is profitable for that. Now, what is that? How does that help us? That a man, through being righteous, may be perfect, thoroughly finished and furnished unto all good works. The Holy Spirit was intentional when he put 2 Peter 1:3 in the Bible. Just listen to it. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue. Once again, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. My concern is not with the scriptures. Why? Because it's absolutely sufficient. Here's my concern, and here's the purpose of the study, and I give it to you tonight. The purpose of this study is that we understand how to apply scripture based on what God has said in his word. All right? In other words, being able to apply what God has said. We can read it, we can even understand it, but are we able to apply it? Can you read a passage in the Bible and know how God intends for you to apply it to your life? Can you do that? Passages that maybe you've memorized, passages that maybe you can explain, but honestly, can you apply it? Do you know how it applies to you? How many of you had Legos when you were growing up? All right. They go back. You still do, Tommy. That's okay. Good. Good. Legos will go back further than most of us can remember. All right. The first time I was introduced to them as a farm boy was in junior high. I didn't even know they were there. But anyway, in the early days, you got a package of blocks with a few simple instructions, and you were pretty much on your own. Remember that? Some of you don't. That's okay. All right. How many of you have bought Legos for your kids recently? All right. Now, here's the good thing about Legos today. You don't have to assemble. Okay, it's amazing how these young people can just get those instructions, find the pieces, and they're putting it together. Occasionally, you may have to help. But here's what is true about those Lego sets today. If you just opened up the package and put them all on the table, there's a lot of that wouldn't make a bit of sense. And I think the pieces keep getting smaller and smaller. But when you follow the instructions and you put the pieces together like the instructions say, it's amazing what comes out of that, how it all fits together. And what is happening is you're taking the instructions and you're applying what it says. My burden is that we be able to do that with all of God's word. And by the way, you don't have to have a college degree. Or extensive Bible training to be able to do that. But there are some principles that you and I must know, must understand to rightly apply God's word, to determine what is the point. All right? And so as we look at God's word, we need to understand we're not talking about just things where we follow instructions and we're able to put together a toy. We're talking about eternal truth that impacts our lives and is going to affect our forever. Now, we've all heard messages that have been preached, okay, where what was preached was not what the text was saying, okay? In fact, churches I've been in, I've had to go back after preachers and just say to the congregation, all right, here's what was said, but here's what the text says. I hate doing that, but it's been because I've had folks in our church family come and say, Pastor, is that really what that text said? Well, I'm glad you asked, but no. Okay? And sometimes God's people can say, well, it sounds like it's just kind of up to us to determine how to apply, and I want to kill that idea. Okay? No, God said what he said to help us, and it does to apply to us, even though All of the scripture was at least written 2,000 years ago, and a lot of it even older than that. All right. And so, what's the point? Rightly applying God's truth. By the way, if you don't know the point of what God says, you're probably going to throw up your hands in frustration and say, what's the point? And we never want to have that happen with God's word. So let's begin tonight by considering the subject of biblical relevance. Biblical relevance. If we believe all scripture is given by God and is profitable to help us be righteous, fulfill our obligations to God, and therefore be like God, have lives that are pleasing to Him, we need to understand this matter of biblical application. And in fact, as we look at biblical application, I'll be giving you principles to help you better apply. And the scripture teaches us how to do that. So let's begin with this question tonight. What is application? By simple definition, application is discovering what ought to be done in response to what God has said in His Word. It's just discovering what ought to be done with what God has said. Now, Scripture addresses this, does it not? Where the Lord says, don't be just hearers of the word, but what? Doers. What's that? It's application. Apply what you hear. It's following through on the doing part after we hear, after we read. Now, this may involve a physical action. Okay, and those are sometimes the easiest for us. Stop lying. Keep praying. Right? Those are simple things that we see in God's Word. However, it may involve something intangible where God wants to change how we think about something or correct our attitude about something. For example, turn to Romans 15. This is just one of many, many passages that help us understand the intangible. Romans chapter 15. Would you note, please, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That's interesting. There are things that God gives us. It's not go do or stop doing, but through the comfort of the Scriptures, what does it do within us? Gives us patience, causes us to be settled, to have hope about what God is doing. Those are intangibles, but those are really important, right? You know, the fact that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a settled mind. Those are all truths that are intended to affect our thinking, which, by the way, then impacts our living, because everything you do is a result of the way you think. Now, Paul had application in mind when he wrote to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. Okay? In other words, diligently study so that God approves of you, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. The text assumes there that there will be a time of accounting. Do you know you and I are going to give an account before Jesus to how we applied truth? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the essence of why I'm burdened that we go through this study. Our being approved requires that we handle God's word accurately. We want to find out what God is saying and what He expects us to do with His truth. Even though, again, we're talking about truth that was delivered thousands of years ago at this point. Now, if application is discovering what ought to be done in response to what God says, then there are some things that we must assume. These are things that the Scripture teaches, but that we must assume. So what is assumed in application? What is assumed in application? We're going to look at three truths tonight, and then we're going to be done. First of all, we must assume that all Scripture is intended to change us. All Scripture is intended to change us. We've already looked at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it's profitable. Correction, reproof, instruction. Instruction is training in righteousness that we might be complete. Right? All of it is important. Even those genealogies. Even all that law in the Old Testament. Much of it that applied to Israel and was specific to Israel, just as far as their identity as God's people. All right, it was given for that reason. But there are truths about your God that you're going to learn as you study those texts. You know, walk up to some Christian and say, "How's your Bible reading?" "Oh, I'm in the middle of Leviticus." And they're probably not telling you that with a smile. Okay? I'm so glad I'm a New Testament preacher and not an Old Testament priest. I can't imagine trying to keep all that straight. Okay, but here's what it teaches us. It teaches about us about our God, who is holy and separate. His disdain for sin, and yet he wants man to come to him and to be right with him. Right? And there's so much about our God that we can learn there, and it's profitable. So all Scripture is intended to change me. So here's the application. If you're not letting any Bible in your life, you're not equipped, and you're not maturing. But know, K-N-O-W, your Bible, apply your Bible, you will be equipped, and you will be mature. Okay, it's that simple. So first, all Scripture is intended to change me. Secondly, I need the Holy Spirit's enablement to understand Scripture. I hope all of us understand that without the Holy Spirit's illumination, no man can understand his Bible. You sisters in Christ can't understand your Bible without the Holy Spirit's illumination. 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." Listen, "neither can he know them." That word means he can't understand them. By the way, if you're a consistent witness, you've had people tell you that. "Oh yeah, I've read the Bible and it doesn't make any sense." Now, they'll often mask that. They don't want to admit, "I just don't get it." They'll say something like, "Well, everybody applies it differently." Okay. But they don't understand it. Why? Because those truths are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit has to turn the light on. He has to illuminate the mind, open the understanding. This is why we must not let anything as Christians interfere with the Spirit's light. Sin darkens our minds. Sin blinds our minds. And so as believers, we still must seek the Lord's help to enable our understanding. That's why David prayed in Psalm 119:18, and I give that text to you. "Open thou mine eyes." He's saying to God, literally in the Hebrew, "reveal to me truth that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." John 14:26, "But the Comforter," this is what Jesus promised, "which is the Holy Ghost, whom I, the Father, will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." When I have my time with the Lord each morning, I never do that, and I can say that, God is my witness, I never do that without saying, "Lord, open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things. God, I need you to teach me today." And by the way, then I try to say this, "and Lord, whatever you show me, I'll do it."
That's important too, because if my attitude is, Lord, if I like it, I'll think about it, God's not going to meet you. Okay. But Lord, whatever you show me, I'll do it. And then do it. He'll teach you how to apply Scripture. But we need the Holy Spirit's enablement to understand His truth. And then finally tonight, knowledge and application of Scripture build on themselves. They build on themselves. How many of you ever started a job? And maybe you had some orientation, some classroom time, and they hand you a manual and they're teaching you how to read charts or read whatever. And in those first days, you're thinking, I have no clue what this is. And somebody will say to you, just stay with it. As you apply, it's going to make more and more sense. And then over time, you realize, okay, I was taught this and this and this, and now I can do this and this and this. Now it's all coming together. We know that's the way the Scripture is. This is where we come to understand that our study and application of the Bible never ends, and the results only get better. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, it's like looking in a mirror, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. God takes us from one glorious step to another step. The whole idea is so that we bring more glory to God, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that was the second point, okay? The Spirit of God does this in us as He teaches us. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That is continuous action. None of us ever get to the point where, all right, I know enough Bible now. At the end of his life, writing from prison, here's what Paul said to Timothy. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 13, if you want to look over there. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, okay, he says, bring that, and then bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. What's he talking about? The Old Testament scrolls. Now, Paul is at the end of his life. And what is he saying? I need to study more. I want to learn more. I want to be reminded about what God has said. So the more you know your Bible, the better equipped you'll be to compare what the Spirit has said with what the Spirit is saying. And God will be able to bring you to the accurate application of the text. What the text says and how we should apply it are so closely connected that John Frame said this, the meaning of Scripture is its application. Some of these Bible scholars, they just put it right together. Someone else said this, that understanding always includes application. Understanding what God has said in our minds ought to immediately transition. All right, now this is what God wants me to do. I think Daniel Doriani said it best, though. Listen to this, quote, while we interpret Scripture, Scripture interprets us, end quote. You've all heard the statement, you know, when you read your Bible, it reads you back. It's true. So is the Bible relevant? Does God tell us what should be done in response to His Word in matters like being in an abusive marriage, having a teenager addicted to electronic video games, or being in an ongoing battle with depression? You know, God's going to meet us in His Word, and He is going to address all those things. The answer is, yes, but we need to know where to go in the Scriptures and what to do once we get there. And tonight I just want to build your confidence in the sufficiency of Scripture. When a lot of the church is thinking, and you can walk into the average Christian bookstore and you'll see it for yourself. Little section of Bibles here and then this huge self-help section. And what are they declaring? This can help some, but you need all this. Now, I'm not diminishing Christian authors who believe in the sufficiency of Scripture and will tell us how God has used the Word of God to help them, encourage them as they have applied truth. But we don't start here. We start with Scripture. So we've answered this question. Is the Bible relevant? Yes, it is. We've answered the questions, what is application? Right? What is assumed in application? The next question that will be answered, Lord willing, next week, what is the focus of application? All right, so that will be next week. And I'll give you to that answer, give you the answers to that question when we meet back together. Let's stand together, please, and we'll be dismissed with prayer. Father, help us to hunger for your word. And Lord, to have an automatic response when we have a question in our minds, not to turn to our own thinking, the opinions of others. Lord, help us to reach for our Bible. Thank you for your light. You gave it to us because you intend for that to illuminate our steps. And Father, I just pray that as we go through this series, that we'll understand the big picture of application and then be able to learn basic principles from gleaning from your word and coming away with truth that will give us exactly what we need as we apply it to our lives. Give us safety as we head to our homes tonight, we pray. Lord, help us to remember tomorrow night visitation. We had so many guests here Sunday. Lord, there are so many to follow up on. Lord, if we don't tell them, who's going to? If we don't care, who will? Lord, it's our responsibility. And what a joy it is to be able to visit and share the gospel. We're proclaimers. And Lord, thank you for the power of your word. Lord, bless our church family. Continue to work. We pray now in Jesus' name.